Well, if you're interested in peace and reconciliation by way of the cross of Christ, that's the subject. Great subject. And we want to just kind of open it up tonight. And so if we're going to talk about peace, well, let's sing some hymns that might have some relevance. Number 69, Lord, with glowing heart, I praise thee for the bliss thy love bestows. Number 69. And if we're going to consider peace, that inner peace, then there must be the singing of 580, It's Well With My Soul, 580.
What?
And then the hymn number 403, What These Hands Have Done, Not What These Hands Have Done. Peace was the theme, 403. Now hear the word of God as it shows for thee how that our blessed Lord, the how exemplary he is as far as a reconciler. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Let's pray. How grateful we are tonight, Lord, that we're able to sing about your peace that passes understanding through Christ and his death at the cross of Calvary. We pray tonight that as we look and open this up, that you will give us liberty and understanding, and help us to see how great peace is with you and what our Lord Jesus has done at his cross in shedding his blood. So bless us tonight in our together, and bless us in the time of prayer. Help us, our Father, to center attention now upon this subject of peace with you. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Yes, be seated, and let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. And so we're in this new passage concerning the supremacy of Christ as reconciler. And it starts out by saying in verse 20 there, the first part I want to deal with tonight, or start in, for and having made peace through the blood of his cross. That's the subject at hand. And all those hymns that we've sung spoke about peace. He can give me peace. God can give me peace. Yes. You probably read as I do. And I don't know sometimes whether it helps us psychologically, but I was saddened to hear of a person that jumped out of the fifth floor in a hotel and out the window and killed herself. We had a student do that at Muhlenberg College. What a sad time it was, committing suicide. And she left it be known that she was lonely, but the truth of the matter is she was beautiful, and she was a model, and had her own business and so forth, and doing very well. But she said she was lonely. And so she jumped out of the fifth floor. Yeah, you know, the last few weeks I've heard people say, if I had a gun, I would have settled it. Oh, man. Come on. That's dumb talk. But there are people, and now with the Supreme Court allowing us to have, making sure we have the right to bear arms, there'll be more weapons. And these people will say, well, if I had a gun, I'd have settled them. Come on. We've got to get some peace and understand what it's all about. I mean, the world's desirous of peace, but they're looking at the wrong places, and so we've got to see what it's all about here. The world looks to the government and to power and United Nations and all of them for peace, but you'll find that it has to start with the individual, also groups like the church. But there's almost an exclusion of the Word of God in our public education day, and you say, well, I know that, but do you really know how bad it is? Almost a complete exclusion of the Word of God in our school system, educational system, and I think the devil likes it, and he's doing his best so he destroys souls, and so people die, and their souls burn in hell. And you so this is a very important subject, and our blessed Lord Jesus is saying here, you take a look at him, and he's the exemplary reconciler, and give you a peace that comes, as it says here, that he made peace through the blood of his cross. And that's the subject that we're going to look at. You know, I suppose it's important that we take a little look at definitions. We have our ideas about peace. Some people have an idea that peace is when you stop shooting each other. That's peace. When there's no more shooting, that's peace. That's all they understand about peace. Well, it does involve that. But peace is more than stop shooting each other in a war. It goes further than that. It's not just the absence of violence. This is talking about an inner peace. So there's no shooting outside. So you say, well, there's peace. Yeah. But we're talking about an inner peace. This is the Word of God in verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. That's the difference, the Prince of Peace. And who is the Prince of Peace? Well, it's the Lord Jesus. Fine. To make friends with the Prince of Peace. But peace does have that idea of freedom from conflict. Now, you can take it any way you want to take it. And we're going to hope, I hope to get in to show you that we are enmity with God. We are at war with God. We hate God by nature. And that there's a conflict with us and God. And this peace that verse 20 talks about is that that is removed and we don't have that conflict anymore. And there isn't a sense of that God's going to send me to hell. That's fear of or discomfort about that. When I hear the name of God, I get uncomfortable. Verse 20 says, no, this is the fact of the matter is, those of you who know him and he loves you if you're one of his and you've placed your faith in him and you're justified by faith, and then you have peace that passes all understanding. That's Romans, and you've heard that quite a few times, I'm sure, but it's a great verse that goes along with this verse, and that is, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know a lot of these things, but I sometimes wonder if we really know what it means, the definition of it. I know that as God's people, they ought to say, well, I know the Lord loves me and he cares for me and he'll not leave me and he'll not forsake me. And there's that confidence in our Lord Jesus. It is with God that we're talking about the peace that's with God. So to be able to walk around day by day and get up in the morning and say, I don't have any guilt or any fear of rejection because God loves me and he gave me, I have peace with God. There's an absence of conflict, okay, and there's harmony and there is this concord between God and us. Concord. Now it has ramifications with one another also. And I want to get some scripture verses here to really enforce the subject I have at hand. Now, you know, it's the Word of God. It's in the Bible where we can find out about what real peace is. And that's what we're going to look at. Some people think that if I do very well and I'm wealthy, that that'll give me peace. Or they think if I have some power and prestige, that that'll be give me peace. Or that's what's really important, to be an important person and have prestige, and I'll have peace. And that's not what it is. I just told you about this beautiful lady and how that she had all the looks and she had money and she was well liked to jump out the fifth floor window. When are we going to learn that some of this is true? Instead of just saying, well, what is it all about? They use all kinds of things to satisfy. But it's a matter of spiritual. It's a spiritual matter. And yet people keep trying carnal sources to take care of that vacancy in my heart. I try this or try that. Run off to a psychiatrist or something, and I trust there'll be some who will know the Lord and direct you toward Christ. I don't know. I don't know of many. I was talking to a young man. He's a sophomore at Lock Haven University. He wants to be a psychologist, and he loves the Lord. And I said, you know, you got a hard road to hoe if you don't stand for Christ. He said, well, I hope to stand for the Lord. Isn't that good? Now, that kind of fellow, you might want to go visit me. He said, I have a way with people. They used me at my school, and when there was problems, they'd call me in. And he said, I'd sit down with the other students to talk things out. And he said, I just have a way with you. That's fine. And you know the Lord. And then to present the Lord in the whole matter, he can possibly do this. I'm not going to say otherwise. But there's a source of peace. It is this, as the scripture says, it is the Lord that pleases his people. It's the Lord who pleases the people with peace. And that's found in Psalm 23 and 29 and verse 11. It's the Lord that pleases. It says his people. You must be one of his people. His people. One of his people to have peace. It's by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. you know, being justified by faith. We have peace with God. Being justified by faith is staying before the judge, so to speak, and he says, and he hears the whole situation, and the whole thing was wrong. He says, not guilty. I'm justified. Now, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, did heaven, you know, not guilty. My blessed Lord has taken my punishment, my sins. But it says about faith in his blood. It's through the blood of his cross. You need to get that. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, faith in his blood, that he died in our place, and you realize that you have trusted him, then the scripture puts it even as it is here in verse 20, we have peace. Peace through the blood of his cross. We're going to look into the Lord willing how that we are at war with God by nature. We're at war with God. And his wrath is upon us. Boy, that's scary. I don't know about you, but when you look in the eyes of loved ones and they really aren't saved, boy, his wrath is upon them. And you say, well, they aren't really fighting God. Yes, they are. They don't want to hear it. They may be nice and may be moral, but as a man told me yesterday, there's a lot of moral people in hell. Whoa. A lot of good people, moral people in hell. Well, you want to look at this verse again, these verses? For it's so important. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, and by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, man, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. I tell you, brethren, we better check out that passage. That just sounds so good. You know, the Bible speaks about imputed righteousness. I have Christ's righteousness. You do. Hey, big shot, how'd you get that? It was through him and not through me. Don't call me the big shot. It was through him. And God looks upon me, he sees his son's coat of righteousness, and he's pleased. We were having devotion the other day, and it says that our God sings. That's something, God sings. Sings over what was it? What did you sing about? His people, isn't it? God sings about his people. That's wonderful. There's my son. There's my daughter. How I love them. Oh, what wonderful people they are. I'm so pleased with them. Because they're pleased with the Lord Jesus. He sings about it. Does it get to you when you think about the Lord sang together and after they observed the Lord's Supper, they sang together before they left. Our blessed Lord sang. I'm not getting on that subject, but when you have imputed righteousness, you have peace with God. Peace with God. Now, if you go back to Philippians and just say, well, we were there. I had a person call and said, I like some messages on Philippians. Can you help me out? Can I help you out? How many dozen do you want? Philippians 4. Just turn back a couple pages. Remember this? The strength of peace. How strong is peace? Well, I'll start with verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. All men, the Lord is at hand. And watch this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Funny, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things that are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, even these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard, seen in me, do, and the what? The God of peace shall be with you. I tell you something, friends. If the love of God, because you're one of His children, if that love of God exceeds your love for power, I want to be recognized. I want to be somebody. If I could just, the love of God would just, oh, if it would just exceed that love to be somebody. And that's not the answer. And so, if you're going to give a definition, include in it, please, that it's an absence of conflict and has to do with harmony and concord. And that even goes into amongst individuals. But this is, I believe this is basically a Colossians here having to do with a group, the church. Because a church is individuals. And so, I want us to consider a little further here this matter of where it says in Philippians 4, it says, we're not to panic when trials come. You're not what? According to Philippians 4 that I just read to you, you're not to panic. Hey, there are some blows in life that are pretty tough. That's right. But if you have inner peace that passes all understanding, they don't do it. As one lady one day, she jumped almost in the casket. And we had to get a hold of her so she wouldn't jump in the casket with her lost husband. We say, well, don't make light of it. I'm not. But if you don't have the peace with God, what do you have when the only person that perhaps ever loves you, and they're gone? But Philippians 4, there, it's saying again, don't you panic when trials come. And it says, you're not supposed to even be worrying, because the Lord is at hand. Now, do we need to talk to one another? Do you need to talk to yourself? Sure we need to talk to ourselves. Sure we do. You need to talk to yourself, as well as need to talk to myself and talk to the Lord. Because He says we're to pray and we make our requests made known unto Him. And He says you keep your hearts and minds through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always with us. What a peace that is. And if we could see how the Spirit of God, how it releases us from all these things of the world that normally cause people to do awful things, and experience His fruit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace with God. You know, it's a word that, you know, it's a word that it's just... it's hard to explain. Now, one of my favorite verses is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Say, well, what are you turning to one of your verses for? Well, I think that it's just a great verse, and I use it so much. And some of you say, well, I know you do. I hear it a lot of times. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I use that verse 23 a lot. But will you notice how it starts out? You can use it a lot, but do you know how it starts out? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. What's it say? It says that the very God of peace, what about Him? It'll sanctify you wholly. And I pray God how we are. We are tripartites. That your whole spirit and your soul and your body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's me. That's you. You've got a spirit, yes. And what He wants about the spirit, that He pray that whole spirit of yours and your soul, the mental capacity and your body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very God of peace. Hey, you can talk about the peripherals, but this is an inner peace. an inner peace that passes all understanding. Yes, it is. The Bible speaks about it. I do know that there's areas that to be absent of hostile relationships. You know, it's sad when people don't talk. And that's so common. Oh, man, it's so common. Brothers, I could take you right down the road, and without exaggeration, so could Dan, take you right down and say that this home, they don't talk with this other brothers, and this home, now they're getting back together, and we say, wasn't it wonderful that the two brothers are finally at least saying something? We rejoice when they, brothers, begin to talk to each other. And so there's the peace that's an absence of hostile relationship. But this verse in Colossians 1 has to do with the absence of hostility towards God and God toward us. Yes, it is. It's what it is. It's a great passage. Experience is peace that passes all understanding. Well, let me say this. So it's peace and reconcile, and VIA means by way of. Yeah, you know that. I'm going to tell you that. By way of Christ's cross. You got to have the whole thing. The whole thing. And this inner peace is through his life. His life in us. I read it to you there, his life in us. Now, will this life of peace with God, be trouble-free? Some people, I had a young man said, well, I'll tell you one thing, if you don't know the Lord, you know, you see you being thinking he doesn't want us to be poor. You kind of believe that. Once you're a Christian, there's no more problems. There's people like that. What's the matter with you? Why do you need any medication? Huh? If you're a Christian, you don't need any medication. You don't need any help. You got the Lord. You got a nervous problem? What's the matter with you? Aren't you trusting the Lord? People think that way. You'll find that Brother Rook spend some time in Job. You'll find out the attitude of which is very common today. But there's an inner peace that there really isn't a comfort zone as such. You say, oh, yes, it is. It's inward. That's what I'm trying to say. But it's the inner comfort zone. It's inner. Sure, you wake up headaches and you got pain, you got sick, and you got broken this, and you got all that, and you got all kinds of problems. But it's the inner peace that this is talking about. That's what we need to get. And so we can have, so as it says here, and by the way, if we're in Colossians, I want to go to passage in chapter 3, because I think it's really good. Why? Well, it has relevance to the subject. That's why. Well, what does it say in Colossians 3? Well, let's turn there. It should be close by. Let me read a couple of verses. 3. Look at verse 15 of Colossians 3. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Well, that's what we're talking about. To the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, a thanks to God, and the Father by him. What? And it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Verse 15. That's a good verse for all of us. Good verse for us. Peace with one another. That's found in Christ. And so let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Whatever you do. In word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And so you know, I've been trying to tell you the world's illusion about peace is not the same as the Bible. Sal explains about peace. They're talking about, as the scripture says, in Jeremiah, you've heard that passage again and again. He says, they hurt my people by saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Jeremiah 6, Verse 13, 14, there's a peace, 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 when there is no peace. It's talking about not only the absence of violence and war and so forth, it's going beyond that, the inner peace. And God does give inner peace. But most men are blind to that. And you say, well, brethren, I want to talk to you about inner peace. And you say, I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is there's war. I don't know what it is. In conflict with one another, we're talking that which is in the heart. Because, you know, there's the price of peace. And by the way, if you don't think there's a price, you say, well, it's by Christ's cross. Absolutely. But, you know, it has another side to that. What do you mean it has another side? Well, let's take a quick tour to Luke 14. His application. Say, exposition without application, what good is it? Just for me to stand up here and give you a whole bunch of scripture verses, what's it saying? And say, okay, I'll have to find out what it says. Just throw some scripture verses at me. That isn't quite right. In Nehemiah, they gave the word of God and gave the meaning of it. And we need to do that as preachers. But in Luke 14, and you see, the price that's to be paid as far as saying, well, I'm a Christian. You are? Well, let's start at verse 31. Say, I know the Lord. You are? We're glad to hear that. Where's the Lord in all this? Well, verse 31. Now, what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able to, with 10,000 to meet him who cometh against him with 20,000? That's just common sense. See, yeah, but watch it. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, here's where it cuts in for you and for me. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. I am a Christian, thank you. You are? Did you settle down the price to live for the Lord Jesus? It says you take the illustration, you go to war, you consider the other side, don't you? Yep. And try to make peace before you have all the bloodshed? Yep. Well, what about those of us who say we know the Lord? And say, well, what about it? It says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, that's tramping on toes. Because you say, that's wild. My pulpit Bible, it's in red. Well, what does that mean? It was the word of the Lord. He said, I'll tell you one thing. You gotta be able to say, I'm all for Christ. Lock, stock, and barrel. Else you can't be my disciple. Well, I've given you peace, he said. That's wonderful. Now the price for that, there's a price. Well, it's Christ's cross. Anybody knows that? No, the application of it is that I am to walk about and I am able in a position to say it's all the Lord's. Whatever, Lord. It's all yours. But you see, we want our own. We want to do our thing. That's too much. The price is too much, Lord. But the Bible speaks about a perfect peace that passes all understanding. I like that. Now, I dare not leave off the cross. I am to share about the peace that with God. But in order to talk about peace, I must bring in this, Christ's cross, his bloodshed on the cross. You say, well, I don't know that every time you talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus that you've got to talk about the cross. You don't. You're not much different than the liberals. They say there was no necessity for the cross, no necessity for bloodshed. You don't need all that. Everybody's going to go to heaven. God's not going to judge anybody. Nobody's going to hell. And that's the way it is. Say, come on. That's not what the Word of God says. That's not Christianity. I don't care if he has a collar turned around, he's got a doctor's degree. If he's saying that Christ, if he's not talking the cross, if he's not talking the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he's a false prophet. And when we talk to people about peace, that inner peace, we must bring up the subject. It was at the cross of Christ where he shed his blood. You say, well, I don't know that you got to give all that. I'd just be a good guy and... Yeah, you don't know, yes. People need to see that. Why did Christ die? Why did he shed his blood? We're lawbreakers by heart. We've broken the commandments in thought, word, and deed. And there's a price to pay when you break the law. Go out here at night, go down the road 80, 90 mile an hour, and the light's on the behind you, and the siren's blowing, and say, hey, he's going to put it to me. You broke the law. He gave you grace, but you went over extremes. God's a gracious God. I'll tell you something. We're violators, we're lawbreakers, and we're going to go to hell for it. But if we see that our Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary shed his blood in order that men might have peace, that passes all understanding. You can't explain. What are you trying to explain, preacher? I'm trying to explain it. Well, you can, because it's a peace that passes all understanding. So why don't you just sit down? I'll do what I can, Lord. It's a great subject. But if you're to share the gospel of peace, a lot of people don't believe they are sinners. Hey, I pay my bills, don't I? Don't I go to church once in a while? I try to do what's right. What are you trying to call me a sinner for? And so we won't say much. Say, well, but remember, good people, moral people, die and go to hell if they don't know the Lord. We need to talk about that. God share the gospel of peace. It has to do with Christ's cross. The Lord said, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, so send I. We're to share the gospel of peace. Brethren, I will tell you this. It's a great subject, but when you see it as it's connected with reconciliation with God, how he's a supreme reconciliator. Got it. Our blessed Lord. That's where we want to spend some time, the Lord willing. Maybe Sunday evening as we have the Lord's Supper. Maybe you have a question before... We have prayer requests. Maybe you have a question concerning the subject of peace.
Part of my testimony whenever I was in the hospital, and the chaplain come around before they did the catheterization.
Yeah.
They give you your odds. They give you your odds.
Sure they do.
They say there's 98% chance that things are going to go fine. But there is a 2% chance that you may not be successful.
That's right.
You may die on the table.
Yep.
And my answer to her was, appreciate the 98%, but I got the other 2%
covered. That's good. I remember one
and
time...
That's exactly what that verse gave me, that kind of reassurance.
That's good. 2% covered. That's good.
But you wonder about, say she said 50-50.
Yeah.
It's still the same.
I took a picture one time. You know, you take pictures in your mind, don't you? And I was up in the Williamsport Hospital, and individual had an operation. The person died in the operation. And that is sad. And it was a husband, I think it was. I forget. It's been so many years ago. He went in there. He grabbed that doctor. He had a hold of that doctor. Hey, we had to break the whole thing up. I remember as a young preacher. You see, the doctor did what he could. I understand. But people get really get upset on this matter. That 2%, they didn't have that 2%, brother. But the person, they can die on the cross or on the operating table. I still have it in my mind, the young fellow grabbing the doctor. But, brother, that's it. That's good. That's encouraging.
Seems on your word peace and calmness go together.
Yes, but not necessarily. Because it hasn't to do with feelings. That wasn't necessarily a feeling. They said that 2% he covers, Bob. He was probably thinking, sweating, it's going to be, I'm going to have problems, you know, I'm going to. No, no, that's not, I want to make that clear. If you got the impression tonight that this peace, there is a calmness, all the time there's a calmness. Hey, there are times when we waver about our justification by faith. Do you know that? Don't you ever, have you ever wavered about the matter that you know the Lord? Not once? We waver by our faith. And we still have peace with God, but situations change. But down deep, Brother Bob, down deep, it doesn't necessarily have to do with feelings. It's an inner thing, an inner peace. You can't really explain it. But it doesn't necessarily mean the calmness, because I can get upset and I still have peace with God. You see, you got to get straightened up, though. Go ahead.
Well, Sproul has that sinners in the hands of an angry God.
Yes.
Plays that for his students, and invariably he has to counsel them after they hear that message.
Yes.
Because he really throws some curves in there at you and say, are you really a Christian?
Yes.
And he makes them kind of say, oh, sends a little doubt. And so Sproul has to tell them that the things, you're going to have doubts. You're not always going to be 100% absolutely
199%
positive that you're not just acting.
The bottom line is, though, it's going to be, you're going to be convinced. I saw a man of God dying, and he was having a problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But God saw him through it. I believe it.
Peace I give unto you. And you think that, you know, man would naturally at enmity with God, at war, and the natural man. And Christ went to such great lengths to go to the cross that we might have peace.
Yes.
He gives the peace, and he brings the reconciliation. That's wonderful that when we really sit down what we have and what we...
It's wonderful that you can sing these hymns that we had tonight, that, Lord, with glowing heart I praise you, and it's well with my soul, and what it's not what these hands have done, it's Christ. Those three hymns, were, I picked them especially to show the peace that passes all understanding through Christ. Oh, boy. Well, maybe we'll learn some more. And have you anything else? Now, let's see. You'll probably have some family time on Friday, and I hope that your heart will be, have compassion for your loved ones and families, and you'll pray for them. And then the Lord's service is coming up on Sunday. There's the morning service, and then there's the evening service, and we have lined up for the Lord's Supper, the first in Sunday evening, the Lord's Supper. The old timers used to make it a point to prepare. A preacher? Yeah, but the rest of us. Then we have our Wednesday service also. But there is this matter of praying for others. I have good news for you that the World Wide Web, our website, is now up again and can hear the messages. And I'm always of the opinion that there is somebody in this wide world that needs to hear our messages. Yeah, I'm of that opinion. You can say, well, everybody gets the messages. They don't have, what would they need our teaching of the Word of God? It's the Word of God that's going out there. I wonder if you pray for the World Wide Web. our website, I should say. So it's up and running, a new source, and they said it will give us an extra month without paying more because of the delay or the changeover to another source. And it says they can do something for us. They can take more. They give you more space, I guess, is what they're trying to say. Anyway, you'll remember Nathaniel's at camp, and you'll pray for him. God will bless him. We will pray for the missionaries. We think that Ken Ashcroft possibly will be coming around the mountain one of these days across with the boat or the airplane. And you'll pray for Brother Joel Serapolli as he's driving around, and he's doing a lot of driving. He needs to be prayed for safety and for the Lord's will in his life. So remember Brother Joel too. And so what requests do you have that you would like us to pray for? Any requests on your part? She was here before. Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice? You want to give us Janelle, her last name?
Richardson? James.
Janelle. Hey, that's nice that she wants to come back with you folk. So pray for Janelle. Who else? I tell you, brethren, we need to share the gospel of peace. And if we're not doing it, we can talk all about justification by faith. We can talk all about what a church we are trying to be. But we need to talk to people about it. Yes?
I was thinking maybe it would be nice if we prayed for Ryan Hughes. He went to Canada and then to Edinburgh for Liberty's dad yesterday on Sunday.
Yes.
But the Lord may be there in Scotland would have some Scottish good men that would take him in.
Well, Edinburgh has a great history of being a place of truth. I don't know how it is of recent years and so forth, but it'd be nice if somebody would spend some time with my grandson, Ryan Hughes. Who else?